بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين تبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. What was the last chapter that we have discussed? Number 15. Well, not I, but the number.
Islam.
What is the name?
أيشركون.
أباب. أيشركون بالله. أيشركون ما لا يخلق شيئا وهم يخلقون. So the title of the chapter, they have a title of it in your book. And we were talking about those people who are calling upon other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah described those people that they have nothing. And He used that they do not have qitmir. What is al-qitmir?
It's the stairs around the sea, if you know the thing.
Okay.
The membrane around the sea.
We said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used three things that are on the pit of the date. Can you, who can tell us those things?
Qitmir. And fatil.
Mm-hmm.
Naqir.
What is al fatil?
Fatil is the line in the middle of the seams.
Yeah. Al
Naqir?
Naqir.
Naqir is the head of the seam.
Okay, good. He mentioned the hadith in Anas that the Prophet ﷺ was wounded in the battle of Uhud. And then the Prophet ﷺ was making dua against certain people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah. Who tell us this ayah that it was revealed? What is it? Okay. In English? Huh? Not for you to make a decision. What is the connection between this ayah and this hadith and the chapter that we are dealing with?
That if how is it the decision? How are you going to make dua even to the Prophet or to anybody less than you?
So if the Prophet you cannot make dua to, then anybody else is not worthy to make dua to. Did Safwan ibn Umayyah become a Muslim?
No.
Alhamdulillah. We move to the next chapter, inshaAllah, chapter number 16. And also this chapter,
did we go over the issue?
We did not go over the issue from the first, from that last chapter. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. You can read the issues for us.
Give me the mic.
Yeah, give him the mic.
An explanation of the two verses 7:120 and 35:13-14.
Okay.
The story of Uhud.
And that is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wounded. When the archers they left the position on which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam assigned them, and then the disbeliever had made a turn on the believers in the battle of Uhud. And the Prophet ﷺ was hit with a stone. And the rumor was spreading that he was killed, but he was not killed when he left.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Qunut of Allah's Messenger ﷺ in the prayer against someone and saying Ameen of the companions radiallahu anhum behind him.
The purpose of this point. You say, if the Prophet ﷺ, he is the best of the messengers, he himself could not protect himself from the stone to hit him, nor he was able to do anything. How can then help us if they were not able to help themselves in that difficulty? And that would disconnect all inclinations for us to make dua to the righteous people, because the righteous people can never benefit themselves. They can never protect themselves from the destiny of Allah Azza wa Jal. There it makes all the sense that they cannot protect us.
Number four, the ones who were supplicated against were disbelievers.
They were disbelievers at that time, but we're going to find out those people, Safar ibn Umayyah, Suhail ibn Amr, wal Harith ibn Hisham, all of them after that they became into the state of belief.
They, Quraysh, did things that most other of the disbelievers had not done, such as causing injury to the head of their prophet and being intent upon his murder. Also, mutilation of those killed in battle, though they were their cousins.
Yeah, because when the Prophet ﷺ initiated his da'wah in the tribe of Quraysh, they were related. And some people of the same family, some of them are believers and some of them are disbelievers. And if my memory serves me right, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, he was against his father in the battle of Uhud. And in the battle of Badr, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, was against his own father. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم. You're not going to find those people who believe in Allah and the last day to be friends with and to carry love to those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they were their fathers and their sons and they're from their kinship. So we know from this issue that when you are standing to call for Allah Azza wa Jal, some people may not accept your call even they were born in the same family. And not only that, they might be the biggest enemy towards your da'wah. And we have the example of what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family.
Allah reveals to him in relation to this, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. Not for you, O Muhammad, but for Allah is the decision.
Okay. We have talked about that.
Okay. Is Allah's statement, أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ. He turns in mercy to pardon them or punish them. And he did not turn toward them and they believe.
Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made them to repent and they repented and entered into Islam. So it's not for Muhammad, it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the destiny of Allah unfolded by all of those Safwan ibn Umayyah and the rest to become into Islam. Even we know Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, the son of Abu Jahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened his heart to Islam.
Al-Qulub invoking Allah against someone in time of disaster.
And this al-qunut, we can do that in a time of disaster. But that means the disaster here we are mentioning, not disaster from each other, but the disaster that can take place and the Muslims will be in difficulty, they can make this prayer, this dua in the prayer. So you can make the qunut in the prayer. And you make that qunut in the last rak'ah of the prayer after the ruku'. After we stand up from the ruku', you make this qunut.
Specifically naming the ones who are being invoked against in the prayer by their names and the names of their fathers.
Again, this qunut, you make it when difficulties come, but not naturalistic or difficult. For example, you do not make qunut for a zilzal, You do not make qunut for wildfire. You make qunut when something happens to the believers from others. But in times of difficulties like those naturalistic happening that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to make dua to Allah to remove those, because all those afflictions, they come over the Muslims due to the sinful practices of the Muslims.
Cursing someone in particular in the qunut.
Cursing someone in specific in the qunut. This issue number, what number? Number 10. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making dua on those three individuals. But this is not really, this issue that is listed in the issues is not really according to what exactly happened. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the revelation that it's not up to him, it's to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore he stopped making the qunut against those people. So if somebody says it's not permissible to make the qunut in specific against somebody in the prayer, that will be something that's worth considering.
Circumstances of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of the revelation to him of وَأَنْذِرْ عَشِيرَتِكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ and warn your tribe of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of near kindred. The seriousness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the issue that insanity was attributed to him, and likewise is the case of Muslim who does so now.
When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the command to warn his near relation, he implemented the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُمْ فَأَنْجِرْ. He rose and he was warning the people. So much so that the people are accusing him of being insane, being a magician, and so on and so forth. And this situation, do not think it's limited to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because every Prophet, there is an enemy from the shayateen is assigned for the Prophet. And those enemies, they spread those rumors against the Prophet. And similar to that, those people who are students of knowledge, they are the heirs of the Prophet. They inherit the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with that comes the animosity that the enemies of the Prophet has toward the Prophet and toward their heirs. So you find anyone who stands to make da'wah, some people will come and say he is this and he is that and he is strict and he is taking it way too much and so on and so forth, and we hear all of those statements. So we need to be, inshaAllah, patient and take a good example in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Is the Prophet's statement to those close and far to him, I will be of no avail to you before Allah, to the extent that he said, O Fatima, daughter of Muhammad, I will not be of any avail to you before Allah. If he made this clear while he was the leader of the messengers, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot avail the best of women of this world, and the man believes that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak the truth, then he looks at what has occurred in the hearts of the people of position today. The issue of tawheed will be clear, and so the strangers of the religion.
What he is mentioning here, it means when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not able to bring any good to his da'wah, then he is not going to be bringing any good to anyone else. If we consider this situation, I would consider how the Muslims, in the time when that was written and nowadays, how they are trying to get the benefits through calling people who are in the grave. Who they grab, they go to shrines and they go to awliya, so-called awliya, and they call Allah by the names of those awliya. All of that is not founded in the religion. Because of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was alive, he was not able to bring any goods to his daughter. He does not have any control. Then after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moved him from this life to the al-barzakh, he's not to be able to bring any good to you. And if he is not able to bring good to you, anyone else is not able to bring good to us. Therefore, we should not go to graves and stand before graves and say, "Oh Allah, we ask you by so wealthy that is buried in that grave to give us this and to give us that." That would be a practice in the religion that is not in accordance with the Tawheed in which the Prophet ﷺ came with. Having said that, we move to the next chapter, which is chapter 16, where it says, حَتَّى إِذَا فُزِعَ عَنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ قَالُوا مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا الْحَقَّ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. Read this ayah, it says in Surah Saba, and when fear was removed from their hearts, they said, "What is it that your Lord has said?" They say the truth, and He is the Most High, the Most Great. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing to us what goes on when Allah speaks to the angels. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, the angels, they will be in fear. When the fear is removed from their hearts, they will ask, "What did your Lord say?" And they will answer each other. They will say, "He said the truth," because Allah only says the truth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. They say He said the truth, and He is the Most High, and He is the Most Great, or the greatest. But from this ayah we benefit that the angels are afraid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the angels are afraid from Allah azza wa jal, then the angels cannot bring benefit to us independently from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will disconnect the people from making dua and supplications to the angels. The last chapter, we disconnected any reasoning for us to make dua to the people. And now we are disconnecting any reasoning for us to make dua to the angels. Because the angels are in fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we can benefit, five benefits from this ayat, that the angels, they have hearts, because it says حَتَّى إِذَا فُزِّعَ عَنْ قُلُوبِ. They have hearts. And also the angels, they have physicality. They're not spiritual beings, as some people say. They are only something that they're not tangible, spiritual things. But they have physicality. They have hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, الحمد لله فاطر السماوات والأرض جاعل الملائكة رسلا أولو أجنحة. That the angels, they are messengers with wings. Some of them have four wings, some two wings, some of them have three wings. And it was reported that Jibreel, he has 600 wings. So from this ayah we benefit that the angels, they're not spiritual beings, but they are physical creation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, they do not eat, they do not drink, nor they have the ability to disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And also in this ayah, we affirm the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. And this is, speech is one of the attributes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Unlike those who suspend the names and attributes of Allah and they say Allah does not speak. But this ayah is clear proof to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. Also this ayah proves to us that Allah is the Most High, and His Highness is in His attributes, and that is agreed upon by all the Muslims. Everybody agrees on that Allah is high by His attributes. But also this ayah proves that is the highness of Allah by Himself. Allah is high, not with us. He's not on earth, but Allah is in the high. And this ayah proves His highness. We move on to the second ayah, or to the second evidence that was brought in this chapter. وفي الصحيح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال إذا قضى الله الأمر في السماء ضربت الملائكة بأجنحتها خضعانا لقوله كأنه سلسلة على صفوان ينفذهم ذلك حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير فيسمعها مسترق السمع ومسترق السمع هكذا بعضه فوق بعضا وصفه سفيان بكفه فيسمع الكلمة فيلقيها إلى من تحته ثم يلقيها الآخر إلى من تحته حتى يلقيها على لسان الساحر أو الكاهن فربما أدركه الشهاب قبل أن يلقيها وربما ألقاها قبل أن يدركه فيكذب معها مئة كذبة فيقال أليس قد قال لنا يوم كذا وكذا كذا وكذا فيصدق بتلك الكلمة التي سمعت من السماء رواه البخاري. In this hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah in Sahih al-Bukhari, it says, when Allah decrees some orders in the affairs, the angels flutter their wings indicating complete surrender to His statement, which sounds like chains being dragged on rocks. Until that status is removed, they will say, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, when the fear was removed from their hearts, they will say, what did your Lord say? They will say the truth, and He is the Most High and the Most Great. Then those who eardrop, they will hear what was decided. And those eardroppers, they are on top of each other. Sufyan has described the situation like this. They are on top of each other. So the one who hears it on the top will convey it to the one who is underneath. And the one who is underneath will do that to the one who is underneath him, until it will be said and it will be told to the fortune teller, to the foreteller. And maybe the shaitan will be hit with a shooting star before he convey it, and maybe he will convey it before he is hit. And when that statement comes to the fortune teller, he will mix with it 100 lies. Then the people will say, didn't so and so tell us so and so on that day? So that fortune teller, his information will be authenticated because of that statement that the shayateen has passed on to him. This is the hadith. From this hadith, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon deciding a fear in the sky, the angels will flutter their wings in submissiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not going to reject what Allah Azza wa Jal has decided. And the sound of the speech of Allah to them will be like dragging chains on rock. That will be very loud, a sound that they will be put in fear on from that sound. But that does not mean the sound of Allah is like that, because we know Allah is nothing like unto Him. We can never make tashbih with Allah Azza wa Jal. And when that situation will be done, they will say, what your Lord has said, they will say the truth, and He is the Most High, the Most Great. That which was decided in the sky, we know that the shayateen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, they have the ability to fly, and they have the ability to hear what is going on and what is going to be decided. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Al-Jinn, وَإِنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ. صحيح؟ فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَبًا. We used to go and position ourselves in specific seats on the sky, but now whoever wants to do that, there's a shooting star ready for him. But that was during the time of the revelation. Because during the time of the revelation, the sky was protected from the jinns. But after the revelation has stopped, now the jinns, they have the ability to go and listen. But if they do that, they will be hit with a shooting star. And some of them, they will be able to listen to the information before the shooting star hits. And some of them, they will be hit in a shooting star, thus they will be not able to communicate the message. But at any rate, the hadith describing to us that the shayateen will sit on top of each other, all the way from the earth, all the way to the sky. They will sit on top of each other until they hear something. When they hear something, they will try to communicate that, to communicate it down the chain. They communicate it all the way down the chain if they are successful, until they will put this information on the tongue of the one who is their agent on this earth, the fortune teller. He is the agent of the shayateen. But that fortune teller, he's a liar. All of them are liars. So they will mix with this information 100 lies, and they will lie to the people. But that which was heard in the sky will come to a reality. And the people will authenticate that fortune teller, because 1 in 100 of things that he's saying was realized, and they will say he is telling the truth. And from that we know how people evaluate things in a very awkward scale, especially people who are not enlightened with the Quran and the Sunnah. People who are not enlightened with the Quran and the Sunnah, they have the tendency to scale things in an awkward scale, in a scale that has no justice in it. Somebody tells 100 lies, but sometimes he tells something which is correct. Because of that which is correct, they will announce the fortune teller as somebody who is a trustworthy source of information. Again, this hadith was brought by the author for us to show us how the angels are in fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah speaks. Therefore, the angels are not the deity and the deity for us to call upon them or to ask them. But Allah Azza wa Jal is the one to be asked, and Allah Azza wa Jal is the one to be called upon. The next hadith, the hadith of Al-Nawas bin Sam'an, we're going to skip talking about this hadith, because this hadith seems to be weak. It says, والحديث في إسناده نعيم بن حماد والوليد بن مسلم وهو مدلس وقد عنعنه. لا، الوليد بن مسلم مدلس.
وليد بن مسلم؟
نعم.
نعم.
ضعيف. So هذا الحديث فيه ضعيف ومدلس، والمدلس عنعن. ما هذه العنعنة يا
أذن؟
لا تدري. So since we have skipped this